You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Tim Link, and I thank you for joining us today. My guest today is Bruce Cameron, and Bruce will be talking about his New York Times best-selling novel, A Dog's Purpose. And you're going to love this book if you haven't read it already. And, of course, the book is written from a dog's point of view, so it's a great, great novel. So we want to talk a little bit to Bruce about that today, as well as all of his other wonderful projects. But first, I always like to give tidbits, little stories, things that help you out or make you smile. And today we got a little bit of helpful hint, a little tip for you to check out if you're not already aware of it. Usually, if it's like my pets, it's time for annual vaccination time for the dogs and the animals. And there's usually a whole host of vaccinations that your veterinarians are going to recommend to you. And as you know, vaccinating your pets is a responsible thing to do. It's an important thing to do. And the best time to do it is to do an annual checkup and get the shots done then. What you may not be aware of is that you may be able to have your pet vaccinated every 3 years for rabies rather than annually. Your vet would be able to tell you more about this and whether your particular state's law permits a 3-year rabies vaccine to be given to your pets. So check in with your veterinarians when you're going in for your annual shots and or your annual checkups. You know, one other interesting point is that the immunity provided by some vaccines lasts for much longer than a year, even though we traditionally get annual shots for our pets. So a great way to find out if your pet is still protected by a particular vaccine is to ask your veterinarian to do a titer. That's T-I-T-E-R. Titers are tests that measure the level of antibodies in the blood and indicate whether immunity still exists. So if you'd like to learn more about this, obviously you can contact your veterinarian and ask them a little bit more about doing a titer before doing the annual shots to determine if it's fully needed. Also ask them about the 3-year rabies shot. And, of course, if you'd like to learn more about the 3-year rabies vaccine or titers, you can visit my blog on Pet Life Radio. Go to Animal Rights Blog on Pet Life Radio and click on the links to the 2 articles that I've submitted on the blog. And one of the things I do want to say on the 3-year rabies vaccination, now, I'm not a veterinarian, but I've got this cleared through my veterinarian and other people as well. A 3-year vaccine for rabies for your pet doesn't mean it's 3 times the potency. A lot of people feel it's think that, oh, it's a 3-year vaccine. Since we usually do it annually, it must be 3 times the potency. That's not the case. Actually, each state has examined the rabies threat in their particular state and determined is it really necessary to do an annual vaccine or to spread it out to a 3-year rabies vaccine. So it's the same potency, same shot. Everything's exactly the same. It's just that you may be able to spread it out to every 3 years instead of every year, thus making your pet well protected against rabies and also make them a lot happier and put a little bit more money in your pocketbook as well. So keep that in mind. Check it out. Go to the Animal Rights blog on Pet Life Radio, PetLifeRadio.com, and find out more about those topics. Now, we're going to go into a commercial break, but everybody stay tuned. We have Bruce Cameron come in on, talk about his best-selling book, A Dog's Purpose, and all the other wonderful things that Bruce has up his sleeve. So everybody stay tuned. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, 4 to be exact.
We really love pets. There isn't anything we won't do to make sure they're getting the best products and the best care. So when you ask us a question like,
so how do you feel about cat condos?
We can say from experience,
feels like home for her.
Enter the code LUCKY10, L-U-C-K-Y, the number 10, and get 10% off any order. No minimum at petco.com.
There's a movement afoot. ShoeBuy.com. Join the millions of people who shop ShoeBuy.com's over 400 brands and 500,000 products. Order now and get free shipping and free return shipping. ShoeBuy.com, the world's greatest shoe store.
Walk your dog in style and comfort. Enter the code LUCKY, L-U-C-K-Y, at checkout and get a 10% discount plus free shipping at ShoeBuy.com.
Celebrate your special occasion and give her this classic semi-eternity band created with 1-carat brilliant diamonds, channel set in 14-carat white gold. Exclusively yours from ICE.com. Free shipping over $150, free returns, and 30-day money-back guarantee.
Go to ICE.com and use promo code ACTFP and get 20% off your purchase. Or use promo code ADTFP and get 20% off at Diamond.com. ICE.com or Diamond.com. Get 20% off from Pet Life Radio.
This year, Americans are expected to spend a jaw-dropping $36 billion on their pets. From lighted leashes to high-end spa products, the discriminating pet owner can find just about anything to pamper his or her pet. Hi, this is Michelle Fern. Join me every week for Best Bets for Pets, where we'll talk about the latest pet products and talk to the companies that make them. Best Bets for Pets, every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Thanks for joining me. I want to introduce Bruce Cameron to you. Bruce Cameron is a New York Times bestselling author, obviously an animal lover, and an award-winning nationally syndicated humor columnist. Always fun to talk to Bruce. Bruce, welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure. I always love talking to you. And, of course, I love this book, A Dog's Purpose, A Novel for Humans. I love that. People are probably very familiar with your work from the past, but obviously you've written some best-selling nonfiction books, such as How to Remodel a Man and 8 Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter. But A Dog's Purpose is your first fictional novel. So
that's right.
So tell us how you came about writing this book and taking the approach from giving it from a dog's perspective.
Well, I had this question in my mind, which is what would it be like? What would happen if your dog never really dies? What if he is reborn, and if in the process of being reborn remembers his past lives? What would that look like from a dog's perspective? And So I answered the question with A Novel for Humans, although some people read it to their dogs. A Novel
good.
For Humans, A Dog's Purpose. And it tells the story of this this amazing dog who lives several lives, and with each life learns lessons that helps him with the next life.
And you know, that's always whether we're talking about a spiritual conversation, a humorous conversation, whatever it may be, that is something we all want to know. We want to know, in our lives, would that be possible? Is that possible? And obviously, is it possible for our animals as well? And though you take an approach not addressing it from a spiritual manner, or otherwise this book would probably be 10 times the size, but it's a lovely approach because it really does give it, if this could happen, which we'll debate whether it does or doesn't, but more importantly, what would happen? What would happen if it happened, especially to our animals?
Yeah, I think that I don't try to urge people to pick this up and use it as a way to understand or believe in reincarnation. The reincarnation thing is just sort of a way into the mind and life of a dog who, because of his several lives, matures and becomes more and more sophisticated. Unlike the 20-week-old puppy that I have right now at my feet, who's looking for things to chew on, hopefully not my feet, this dog eventually becomes very wise and develops a sense that there must be a purpose in his life. And that's really, I really think that when we have pets, when we have dogs, sometimes we look at them and we see an old soul. Sometimes we look at them and realize that they might very well be capable of contemplating that they have a purpose in life and be conscious of it and thinking about it. And that's all. This particular dog is a regular dog. I mean, a lot of people have written books from a dog's perspective. This one's unique because it's a real dog. It doesn't have a sophisticated understanding. It doesn't understand English, really. It knows a couple hundred words at the most. So, and everything that happens is interpreted through the dog's experience. So it's not always true that the dog understands exactly what's going on. That the dog may feel that there's something completely different happening Or it'll be listening to a conversation and nobody says anything about car ride or biscuits or anything. So he thinks it's just a bunch of noise. He doesn't see any significance in it at all.
Exactly.
So the humor in this then comes from there's a lot of times when the dog just completely misunderstands what's going on. And this is because dogs are so joyous. In a dog's purpose, the dog is a joyous animal because that's how dogs attack the world.
That's right. And if they don't get it right the first time, no worries. They have another opportunity, so they don't let it get them down like us humans do often.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot we can learn from our dogs if we just watch them and try to live like the dogs. I remember once when I was just out of college, liberal arts major, so naturally I was painting houses for a living, and I brought my two Labradors with me to this place way out in western Kansas, so it was completely flat, this house that was like out in the middle of nowhere, like an oasis of human life in the middle of these flat plains. And I was up on the ladder painting, and the dogs just decided to run and run and run, and they were just running in a straight line until they were mere specks on the horizon. And I finally whistled them back, and they came back, and the looks on their faces were like, this is the greatest day ever. And I'd been up on that ladder thinking, you know, why am I applying a coat of paint to a house? Why did I go to college? And I looked at them and realized I need to live life like the dogs do. And
that's
it's
right.
That joy that propelled me into writing A Dog's Purpose.
No, I think it's a great idea. I tell people all the time that, you know, we need to live life like a dog. People ask me, what can you learn from your dogs? Well, live like they do. And they understand their purpose for being here. And, you know, now we've always heard about cats having 9 lives. But the dogs in your book, there's 4 different incarnations, one being Toby, Bailey, Ellie, and Buddy. Were any of these dogs based on any dogs in your life or dogs that you have met in your life?
Well, sure. I mean, the life of Toby starts off he's a feral dog at first, and he's living away out of contact with humans, though he finds himself oddly drawn to humans. I mean, so in A Dog's Purpose, the very first thing we learn is what a life is like for a dog without people, and of course it's a really awful life, but the dog doesn't know that. The dog just thinks it's life and attacks the day with joy. And then later he's picked up by a hoarder. So that that particular life was mostly me imagining and what it must be like for a dog to be without people and to have to scrounge in the trash for food. It's not a pretty existence for dogs, and there are so many dogs out there that live a life like that. But the next life, of course, as Bailey, he's a family pet. And there's a scene where Bailey meets the boy for the first time. There's an 8-year-old boy, and they just come together and roll together in the grass. And that's exactly what happened when I first met my very first dog when I was 8 years old. The two of us just ran to each other. We were so excited to see each other. He was a puppy. I was a little boy. And you know, that moment I will always remember. So sure, in A Dog's Purpose, some of the dogs very much are like the dogs that I've had in my life.
Absolutely. And so you learned from them, and now you wrote a book about it.
That's right. So, you know, I think, and I'll tell you the best part about A Dog's Purpose, a little bit of a plot spoiler, but you don't wind up going to a funeral in the very end. We don't bury the dog in the very end. It's not that kind of book. I remember growing up and reading like Old Yeller and just being so upset by the ending of that book. I mean, it just tore me up. That doesn't happen in A Dog's Purpose. Your listeners out there can rest assured this is not one of those books where the very last page, the main character dies. That doesn't happen.
That's great. Because I remember, if you remember the book and the television show Where the Red Fern Grows.
Yeah.
Reflect it back. I remember my grade school teacher assigning that not only to read but watch the show, because the show was just being released on TV. And that was extremely depressing for a young boy, because everybody knows that one dog dies and the other one dies of grieving. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm sure there's a lesson, but I don't need to know that as a child.
That's right. Yeah. So A Dog's Purpose isn't like that.
That's right. And you say that, I read in here that a dog's purpose is to love humans and to teach humans how to love unconditionally as dogs do.
Yeah, I would say that that's my definition of a dog's purpose. It's not necessarily the conclusion that the dog reaches. But if you ask me, well, what is a dog's purpose? I would say we have bred them to love us. And they probably had a natural inclination that way to begin with. But they You know, my dog thinks I'm the center of his universe. He doesn't understand why I won't let him chew on my high school yearbook, but other than that, he thinks I'm the greatest.
Exactly. Well, believe me, I let mine chew out my pictures from my high school yearbook. That's what I did. The long hair was not a good look. Incriminating.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Well, we're going to come up to a break now, so everybody stay tuned a little bit, give our chance for some messages from our sponsors. So everybody stay tuned. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
Love your pets but wish their medications were a lot less expensive? They are at 1-800-PetMeds. You'll not only save on flea and heartworm medications, but on prescriptions for arthritis, incontinence, thyroid, and more. And you get fast service, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, our licensed pharmacists ensure accuracy, monitor drug interaction, and more. See why over 5 million people have trusted their pet's health to 1-800-PetMeds, America's largest pet pharmacy. Call now or order online.
Go to PetMeds.com/Lucky, L-U-C-K-Y, to get 10% off any order and free shipping on orders of $39 or more at PetMeds.com.
FTD's network of over 40,000 florists around the world have been creating beautiful handcrafted arrangements for 100 years. Each arrangement is delivered the same day and backed by FTD's 7-day satisfaction guarantee. For a century, people have trusted their most important occasions to the flower experts at FTD.
Since Pet Life Radio is all about puppy dogs and flowers, our listeners, that's you, can get a 20% discount on your order. Just go to fleurop.com and use the code LUCKIES20 at checkout. FLEUROP.com. Code word LUCKYS and the number 20.
You ask the question, what do I want? What do I need? I'll take affection. I reach an engine. I need time. I need love. I crave attention. This is new waiting by the door. With shaking tails and happy hearts. And running circles round the floor.
I Love My Pets, the new single by Mark Winter, available on iTunes.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's All Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. All Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, this is the place for a special paparazzi treat. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. This is your host, Tim Link, and we're here with Bruce Cameron talking about his best-selling book, A Dog's Purpose. And I know the message came out just not too long ago that the book's going to be a little bit more than just a book. I understand you signed an agreement with DreamWorks Studios.
Yeah, that's right. DreamWorks Studios picked up the option and hired my writing partner, Catherine Michon, and me to write the screenplay. And then we have already turned in the first draft. They were really excited to get that, so it's all going really well.
Fantastic. Is there any projected dates or times that the project should be ready?
You know, things move out here. I live in Los Angeles, and things in Hollywood move very slowly and strangely. And then suddenly it's like there'll be no activity, and then all of a sudden everybody will be rushing around in a panic. So I would love to see it come out next Christmas. A Dog's Purpose sold out. We depleted the supplies everywhere in bookstores all over the country by Christmas, because it's a book that people like to give to other people. And now the stores are being replenished. It's a slow process. I mean, the Barnes & Noble down the street from me still doesn't have my book on the shelf, but they've got it on back order. But the books are showing back up. And so obviously there's a Christmas feel to it that I think would work really well for people to go to a movie on Christmas Day, if that's what they do, or around Christmas time, and see A Dog's Purpose. That would be my goal.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it would be a great fit. And excited for you for the project, so congratulations on that. I'll be looking forward to seeing that.
Thank you, yeah. It's a movie for everybody. You know, A Dog's Purpose is actually being sold all the way down to the Scholastic Book Fair level. The Scholastic Books, on a separate contract with my publisher, picked up the rights to sell it to schools. It's a book that, doesn't have anything inappropriate for children to read, let's put it that way. And because it's written from a dog's perspective, though I do have to use words that describe things. If the dog is hungry, he may not know what the word hungry means, but I have to use the word hungry so that the reader knows what it means.
Right, right.
But nonetheless, I deliberately made it a simple vocabulary rather than try to be complex with it, because I want people to experience what it would be like to be a dog, and that's the goal.
That's right, and I think it's perfect how you wrote the book, because, you know, when I do my writing and wrote my book, I try to make it where it hits a broad audience, you know, where everybody can understand. And being a sales marketing guy, I don't necessarily worry about the approach of, well, the broader I can make the language, the more books I can sell to different audiences. But what I'm really looking for is just to touch everybody from the youth all the way up.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm really proud of A Dog's Purpose. It is doing really well. It's got the highest ranking on Amazon of any book currently on the New York Times bestseller list. So it has really resonated with readers. And I would tell your listeners, if they like talking about dogs and seeing dog pictures and puppy videos, we've got a fan page on Facebook, and it's going great. Drop in and join the conversation. Just look for A Dog's Purpose on Facebook, if you're into Facebook.
Absolutely, and who isn't? Everybody's into Facebook.
Right.
So
right.
That's a good idea. So join the fan club for A Dog's Purpose on that. I want to go back to talk to you about the writing a screenplay for the movie. And,
okay.
You know, we often hear people say, you know, that most books are much better than the movie equivalent. Unless the movie keeps with the book's intent and close and stays close to the book's purpose. When writing the screenplay compared to writing the actual book, how difficult is it to stay true to the stories and the message that's in the book when converting it over to a movie?
Well, the good news is that by hiring the author, DreamWorks did a really great job of making sure that it stays true to the book, because obviously I'm not going to throw the book away and start over. That'd be too much work. And also they said, we want to make a movie of this book. We don't want to just take the title and make our own movie. It is difficult from the standpoint that A Dog's Purpose has a lot of story in it. There's a lot of things that happen. There's a lot of characters that come in and out of this dog's life. And I can't make this a 22-hour movie, so the challenge for my writing partner and me is to stay focused on what are the elements in the book that would tie together in a narrative so that people will really enjoy the movie experience of A Dog's Purpose. And sometimes it's just simply choosing one thing over the other. You know, I could have gone one way and we could have written a different scene, but we decided to stick with the outline that we came up with, and it has worked out great. I mean, I'm really pleased with it. I think everybody listening, you're invited to see this movie when it comes out, and you're going to really enjoy it.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I'll be looking for my red carpet invitation through the mail, Bruce, whenever you get
there
that. Now, tell us about any other projects you got going on, whether it's books or movies. I know you keep very, very active. Tell our listeners a little bit about what else is going on, how they can find out more about you and your projects.
Well, thank you. A Dog's Purpose will be out in a trade paperback edition in the spring, I think around May. That's going to be fun. And then in September, I've got a new novel called Emery's Gift that will be out. And I'm really excited about that project as well. That's great. I just turned in the final draft, so look for that in September. And then I'm going to be writing a sequel to A Dog's Purpose, and the movie's going to be coming out. And then I also am a syndicated columnist. Some of your listeners may live in areas where they get my column in their newspaper, and if they don't, I don't understand. They should carry me. Anyway, so that's what's going on with me. I've got a lot of things. I'm very blessed right now, and it's all really, I mean, the writer's purpose on this whole thing was just always to write a novel that really resonated with people, and I'm really glad that A Dog's Purpose seems to fit that bill.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, I noticed by going to your website, brucecameron.com, you also have a section in there called Dog of the Week. How do people submit Dog of the Week?
Yeah, that's at adogspurpose.com, and that is people can upload pictures of their dogs and nominate them for Dog of the Week, and then you accumulate votes over 90 days. The dog that comes in first place, the owner gets to get a free copy of A Dog's Purpose.
Hey.
So I've been doing this contest started all the way back in May or June, and it has just been really fun. We've had some great dogs win as Dog of the Week, and you can also view my book trailer on there, and unfortunately I'm in that. And you can it's a fun place to hang out. There's always a dog story on the homepage about the Dog of the Week. It's all really, really, really fun. And that's at adogspurpose.com.
Yeah, so everybody check that out. Go to adogspurpose.com and submit your dog. You may be a Dog of the Week. You just never know.
That's right, yeah.
Hey, going back to the book briefly, I understand one of the motivations for writing the book was based on the dog rescue work that your daughter does. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what some of the key points are that that you intended to bring about in that aspect?
Yeah, thank you. You know, I really didn't – all my life I've just sort of gone to a breeder and bought a dog. I thought that's the only way you'd get a good dog. My daughter, though, became heavily involved in animal rescue in Denver, and has started her own charity now. Life is Better is the name of the charity. She just started it this month. She's been working for the past – she co-founded an organization called McKino's, and for the past 10 years has been rescuing the animals. So I've really come to learn a lot about dogs that need to be rescued and fostering dogs and adopting out dogs and all the issues around that. And you know, this is a problem we could solve. The problem of homeless and abused pets, we could solve that problem because it really is just a question of whether or not one's animals are spayed or neutered. If everybody except responsible breeders got their dogs spayed or neutered within a very short period of time, we'd see this problem of these abandoned dogs just drastically decline. My own dog was, his little Tucker, was one of a cardboard box full of puppies that were brand new puppies, just born, left at the shelter in a box. And just fortunately, my daughter's shelter happened to have a German Shepherd who had just weaned off her pups the day before. And they brought the box of newborn puppies into the German Shepherd, and the German Shepherd gave them a look like, you've got to be kidding. And they shoved the dogs at her, and the German Shepherd lay back down. And it was miraculous. It was also interesting that the German Shepherd had a leg injury and really shouldn't have been running around anyway. So the puppies kind of kept the mommy right there. The whole thing was just such a moving story, and then out of that, I got this dog Tucker. We have no idea what he is. I thought he was a golden, but he's too little. He's just not growing any. That's okay. I keep pulling on his feet saying, you can do it, Tucker, but I don't think he's going to get any bigger. But that's just the kind of miraculous work that all these people do, and in the process of doing our work with charities. When the book first came out, we've supported more than 100 animal charities across the country, and we're doing an event with a lab rescue up in Montecito, California tomorrow. So I have really gotten interested and involved to the extent that I can with animal rescue, and the dogs in A Dog's Purpose. It's very clear that dogs can have a great life story, but they can also start out without a great life story, and it's all got to do with how we treat them. It's not their choice. It's what we have arranged for their lives. They see themselves as being animals who are basically dedicated to us and are told what to do with by us, and their lives take the direction that we steer them in. So in Dog's Purpose, I touch on a lot of issues that are really important to animal rescue people about, you know, the dog always gets neutered, the dog lives a good life or a bad life depending upon how the people treat them.
Absolutely, absolutely. More learning lessons from our animals. And big kudos to you and your daughter. Do you have your daughter's website for her Life is Better?
She has not yet put a website up. It's that new of a charity.
Okay, but, well, put it in your little tickler note. Have her drop me a note when she gets that up and running. We'll give a plug on that as well, because we're all about helping out and rescuing. I'm former president of a local humane society and rescue shelter, and
great.
My two boys, Buzz and Woody, my schnauzers, are not only loving my life but the greatest teachers I've ever had, and they were from a rescue situation as well. So,
wonderful.
Yeah, so we applaud you and your daughter for the great work. We appreciate that.
All for the dogs.
Yeah. That's absolutely right. Well, Bruce, hey, it's always a pleasure. Time flies by so quickly, but we're going to be back in touch. Obviously, you got some projects that are going to be right up our alley, and I'll be looking for that golden red carpet invite to come out for the movie premiere when it comes.
Okay.
So we'll be looking for that. So everybody, Bruce Cameron, once again, go out and buy the book if you can. Buy it quickly because it's going to fly off the shelves again. The second print's going to fly off. So the book's called A Dog's Purpose, A Novel for Humans. I love it. Bruce Cameron, thanks for joining Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Well, everybody, we're going to wrap up for today. We're coming to the end of the show. So I'd like to thank everybody for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I'd also like to thank Bruce Cameron for being on the show today. Big thank you to our sponsors and producers for making the show possible. To find out more about me, Tim Link, other podcasts that I have done for Animal Rights Show, and my blog, check it out on Pet Life Radio. Go to PetLifeRadio.com. And while you're there, be sure to check out all of the other hosts and all the other wonderful Pet Life Radio shows. If you have any questions, comments, ideas for the show, please email them to me. You can email them at tim@petliferadio.com. tim@petliferadio.com. I'll do my very best to answer your questions and listen to your comments and take any recommendations on who you'd like to see on the show. So until next time, write a great story about the animals in your life, share it in a blog, article, or book, and who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights Pet Life Radio. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.